Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. We don't shy away from controversial topics. Today, we're going to talk about a very controversial topic. There are many reasons that parents refuse or are hesitant to have their children immunized. Now, from my opinion, none of them are very good reasons, but they nonetheless have chosen not to have their kids immunized. The vaccine researchers have sort of words for all of these things. They call this vaccine hesitancy, and this refers to a delay in acceptance or refusal to accept the importance of vaccinations. They have sort of three subcategories that lead to vaccine hesitancy. One is this idea of complacency, which is this idea that the risks of vaccine-preventable diseases are low anyways, and why would I immunize my kid if there's no chance that they're going to get measles or mumps or rubella? The second is convenience. Sometimes getting the vaccines are expensive. They're not available. Access is hard, although it's hard to make that argument in the United States. And the last is confidence. And that has to do primarily with the lack of confidence in we as doctors and the health profession and the pharmaceutical profession and the CDC and yada, 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 yada. To my research in preparing for this, I think I can say that every single state in the United States now requires immunizations for school entry. A little bit of variation in terms of what's required, but generally they follow the CDC recommendations. There are three kinds of exemptions that parents can elect, and I'm in California, so this has been a huge problem for us, but it is no longer because we don't have a lot of these exemptions as of this year. There are medical exemptions. Those are kids who have valid medical contraindications, usually a history of anaphylaxis or something. There are religious exemptions and there are philosophical exemptions. And I'm not prepared to talk about the difference between the religious and the philosophical, but it is important that the American College of Pediatrics, the CDC, the Pediatric Infectious Disease Society, and the American Academy of Family Physicians, the AMA, anyways, the list goes on and on and on of organizations that strongly endorse vaccinations. Again, a couple of things that I found interesting. One is that somewhere around 5%, depending on the study, of kids are not vaccinated in the United States, and that varies from state to state. It's also interesting that in a large national survey, federal survey, under-vaccinated kids were more likely to be African American, to live in poverty, to live in a city in the central part of the United States, and to have an unmarried mother without a college education, all of those suggesting socioeconomic factors. In contrast, unvaccinated kids, as opposed to unvaccinated kids were far more likely to be white, to have a married mother with a college degree, and to have a family income greater than $75,000. So very different problem that needs a different solution, the under and the unvaccinated kids. You were reading the journal Pediatrics apparently late last year, 2016. You found an article that's an electronic article, so it really doesn't have a page number. It attempts to answer the question, should primary care offices ban children who don't have routine vaccinations? So are we going to now flip this and say, you're not getting vaccinated, you're not coming to my office? Mark, what did the study show?
Yeah, adios, huh? Yeah, this was interesting, and I'm not sure I 100% agree with the authors, but I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about it, Mike. This was really more of an opinion piece. They call it ethics rounds in that journal. And there was a recent survey, about 1 in 8 kids, or I'm sorry, 1 in 8 pediatricians report having a policy of not treating children whose parents refused typical childhood vaccines, which I hadn't, it had never even occurred to me to do that. But, at the same time, I can begin to see why it would get really annoying if you were a pediatrician and this is a lot of what you do and they just kind of blow off your recommendation. The authors examine the issue of banning these children, and there are a couple of arguments that they address. One argument is that these unprotected kids can pass an infection onto other children in the waiting room. The authors argue that even with recent reports to the contrary, you know, there have been some case reports, the likelihood overall is low, and children are still getting exposed to pathogens like chickenpox in the community. So this is just one place out of many that kids go. On the other hand, it's a place where you will, you know, in a pediatrician's office might have 8 or 10 kids sitting in there that may come from, you know, different parts of the community. So there is a bit of a mixing effect. The second argument is if they won't get the vaccines, they don't trust my judgment. The authors argue that, well, you know what, patients, we tell them to not smoke around their kids and they keep smoking. We tell them to feed their kids good, healthy meals and they still get junk food. We tell them, make sure your kids ride a you know, bike with a helmet, and they often ignore that. So we don't refuse to care for them for those reasons. So why are we picking out immunization refusal as a reason to stop caring for the family? The authors point out that basically offices would be empty if we banned every patient who disagreed with or failed to follow any of, you know, or all of our advice. So the author of the poem, Dr. Alan Shaughnessy, states that their conclusion makes sense to him. Perhaps the real solution lies in strengthening our relationship with non-immunizing families in order to continue our unceasing efforts to persuade them to vaccinate. So I think we do have a duty to keep working on these folks and keep educating them. And I think that it certainly doesn't help that our incoming president is convening a panel to re-examine the value of immunizations. That'll be interesting to see who's on that panel and what they conclude. But, you know, so I think on the one hand, I think they make some good arguments. On the other hand, by doing this, are we giving up a lever? You know, are these physicians who have this ban in place, are they giving up a lever that might be used to convince patients to immunize their kids? And say, well, you know, I know you like me as a pediatrician and I'd really like to care for your kids, but I can only do that if you get this immunization. Is that fair? Is that a misuse of power? You know, and on the other hand, you've also got, you know, kids. What about measles? That, like, what led to the California law was the measles outbreak in Disneyland, I believe. And so if one of those kids enters a waiting room, you know, and they're, you know, and they're unimmunized kids, or if you have immunocompromised kids in your practice, you know, pediatric oncology practice or something like that, those kids are at particular risk. So, right. I don't know.
You know, it's a tough issue. I'm not an expert, you know, and perhaps my biggest opinion comes from being a parent. Anyone who's listening who either has been a parent or is a parent, I should say, or has been a kid, and that would include, I think, the vast majority of listeners, you know, our parents told us all kinds of things that we never listened to, and they didn't stop being our parents. So, you know, maybe another compromise is to say that, you know, Friday is going to be immunization free day, and that anybody who hasn't been immunized can come in and for appointments on Friday. And but it's a very interesting argument.
Yeah, or set aside a little closet under the stairs where you put the kids who haven't been immunized while they're waiting.
Harry Potter closet.
Harry Potter closet, exactly. That's what I was thinking of.
Thanks, yes. Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good article. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.